Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode number 79 of the Know Your Physio podcast. I'm your host, Andres Prichel, helping you discover your science to optimize your life. And today's guest is Dr. Amy B. Killen. She is a former emergency physician. She's witnessed firsthand how bureaucratic quicksand can delay effective therapies from getting to patients. And Dr. Killen is focused on bringing effective but unknown or underutilized treatments to the masses through education and patient empowerment. In her Utah-based practice, Dosier Clinics, Dr. Killen and her colleague, Dr. Harry Adelson, pioneered the full-body stem cell makeover, one of the most innovative regenerative procedures currently available. In her portion of the procedure, she combines stem cell and exosome injections with photobiomodulation and shockwave therapy to give patients unparalleled synergistic regenerative effects for skin, hair, and sexual systems. She is the founder and CEO of the Human Optimization Project, HOP, a longevity-based subscription supplement company that stays on top of the science and constantly updates its ingredients for customers who can't devote their lives to reading the latest research, sourcing the best therapies. In the wise words of Dr. Killen, the discoveries, developments, and insights into human health longevity are coming like lightning strikes in all the best and worst ways. They are brilliant and transformational for those who seek them, but blink, and you will miss them. Dr. Killen is dedicated to capturing what she sees and letting everyone everywhere plug in and enjoy the show. And this is quite the show for you guys to enjoy. We cover all of the stem cell, sexual health, and longevity ends of her knowledge and experience in depth. And there's a lot of goodies for you guys. A lot of goodies and a lot of laughs for you guys to take away from this one. So we hope that you guys enjoy, and I will see you on the other side. Being a working professional is not for the faint of heart, even if you're doing what you love every single day, like I get to do, doing the podcast, the coaching, creating scientific content, writing articles, collaborating with some of my favorite brands. Believe me, that's a dream in a lot of ways, and I'm sure that's the case for a lot of you, or you guys are taking the steps towards that kind of lifestyle and professional life. But let me tell you that it's extremely, extremely challenging, and it's not always fun. But it's the hard work that is typically the important work. But nevertheless, that stress does contribute to a number of deficiencies, one of the primary deficiencies being magnesium. Like I said, there's a lot of stress involved in the daily grind. And if you're not careful, that stress can start to take a toll on your body, not only draining you of that vital energy, but making you magnesium deficient. And this deficiency can lead to higher levels of anxiety, irritability, trouble sleeping, and low energy. It can even contribute to muscle cramps. That's why I recommend you supplement with magnesium daily. I did a whole podcast on this with Wade Lightheart, episode number 56. And you can experience a number of positive health benefits just from getting enough magnesium, including better sleep, more energy, healthy blood pressure, less irritability, stronger bones, reduced muscle cramping, even fewer migraines. But to experience these health benefits, you have to get the right kinds of magnesium. There's actually 7 unique forms, and you must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, stress-relieving benefits. That's why I only, and I do mean only, recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic, full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes all 7 forms of magnesium in one bottle. For an exclusive offer for my listeners, you can go to www.magbreakthrough.com/undress for easy access. I will include this in the show notes. All you have to do is click to make your order. In addition to the discount you get by using promo code undress, that's A-N-D-R-E-S, you can unlock special gifts with purchase with retail values of at least $20. This is a limited time offer for select orders. So go to magbreakthrough.com/undress right now. And I hope that you guys enjoy these amazing, amazing benefits. So, Dr. Amy, here we are on the show. Welcome. It's such a pleasure to have you. Beyond your brilliant knowledge and expertise, I think what I enjoy most is your ability to stay spontaneous and your awesome energy. And I think that's what makes you the incredible educator that you are, is that you make the content so fun, so engaging, and it really helps you establish that trust, empathy, and connection with your audience, because a lot of these topics can be very intimidating for a lot of people. They can be very scientific, and therefore not easily accessible. So first and foremost, I want to welcome you. I want to thank you. And I want to let you know that I admire you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. It's going to be fun.
Sweet. So why don't we start with
why. Why don't you tell us a little bit about why you do what you do and how you got into this field?
Yeah. So I was an emergency physician. I was an ER doctor for 10 years. So that's where I'm board certified in ER. I did my training in ER. And then I worked for 10 years total. And towards the end of that, I have three kids. And I had three kids within 2 years and towards the end of that. And I just kind of started suffering from all the things that happens when you have three kids and you're going to work at 4 a.m. And, you know, it's stress and lack of sleep and diet was horrible and not exercising and just feeling kind of bad. And I started getting burned out. And then I started kind of looking around at the patients that were coming into the ER. And I realized that, you know, a good half of the people coming in to the ER were coming in because of similar symptoms or problems, and or because they had some kind of chronic disease that could have been prevented if they'd had enough education. And so I just decided that in order to help them and help me, I needed to leave emergency medicine and just kind of learn a whole new bag of tricks. And that was 10 years ago.
Sweet. And if you can reflect back on a particular moment in time that really got those gears turning for you, and I'm sure there were dozens, hundreds, even thousands of moments that eventually led up to that switch. But if you can think back to a particular moment in time, I mean, what comes to mind?
You know, the moment that I actually made the decision to leave was a day that I was by myself as the only doctor in the hospital or in the ER that day. It was about 4:30 in the morning, and the ambulances came in, and there were two patients brought by two EMS teams. And one of them was bradycardic. So his heart rate was in the 20s, and he was unstable, he was unresponsive, and he was, you know, just about to code. And then the one right behind him was tachycardic. So he had heart rate in the 200s, and he was unstable, and he was unresponsive, and he was about to code. And they put the two patients in two rooms side by side in the emergency department. And because they were both so unstable, I stood in the hallway between them and was kind of like directing the nurses back and forth, you know, give this medication, you know, put the pads on here, shock this person, kind of back and forth. And I ended up saving both patients. So after all of this back and forth, both patients are awake, they're both talking and they're both alive, and I saved them both. And I realized in that moment that, you know, I'd done this great thing, but I was like numb inside. Like I didn't feel that excitement, or I didn't feel like I'd done a great job. And that I just needed to get into a field where I was excited every day and not, you know, rarely excited. So that was the moment that I decided that I needed to leave and that I was burned out and it was time to make a new job decision for myself.
Wow. You know, that's very telling because I feel like even on an episode of Grey's Anatomy, the actor pretending to be a doctor would feel somewhat good about, you know, that kind of maneuver. So that's really incredible. And so what were those next few days, weeks, and months like? How did you actually take action, make that change?
Well, so at that point, I did not have any idea what I was going to do. I decided I was going to leave the ER, but I needed to learn something new. So what I did was I spent the next about a year or 2 years in my spare time, because I had three kids, you know, under the age of two, but essentially learning new stuff. So I would spend nights and weekends, and all the extra time I had went into learning about longevity medicine and age management medicine and, you know, whatever you want to call it, anti-aging medicine. It's all the same kind of stuff, right? And so I spent all my extra time doing that. And then I would go away on weekends occasionally to courses and essentially just spent a ton of time learning on my own, because this wasn't really a field that you could go into, right? There was no residency for this. It was all just like, kind of like you had to learn on your own. And then eventually, once I felt like I knew enough to leave the ER, I just decided to walk away. So I gave my notice and I walked away.
And if we can reflect on your energy, because obviously just, I mean, you can be in a completely different field. If someone crumbs across your page, no matter what it is they do, or what it is that you do, with the energy that you have, it's evident that this is your passion. So are you telling us that this is something that you didn't have access to before? Did you show up at the ER with the same level of passion? Did it eventually dwindle? Like, how did the energy itself change between one career and another?
So, you know, in the beginning, I loved working in the ER. You know, it's a fantastic job. You're a very handy person to have around. You feel like you can do all kinds of things. It's a great camaraderie with nurses and patients, and you really do save lives. So yeah, I was very happy and such in the beginning. But I think over the years of working nights and working weekends and never, you know, going 12 hours without going to the bathroom and just going home exhausted and chugging energy drinks, and all the things that kind of wear away at you. And some of that was my own fault, right? I didn't make the best decisions. After a while, that energy left. And that was what I noticed, is I still tended to be energetic and happy and like on at my job, but then I would come home and I would not have anything left for my kids or for my husband or, you know, anyone else in my life. And so I realized that I was giving it all away and I needed to kind of reclaim some of that energy for myself and for my family.
And so in a way, it was a selfish way to be selfless. right? I mean, you invested in yourself making that decision, but you knew that ultimately that would be the difference you had to see to serve other people the best way that you could. And so do you feel now looking back that it was absolutely the best decision with the people that you're helping?
Oh yeah, I have no regrets. I love what I do now. I feel like I can talk to more people and get the message out more because of social media and speaking and the things that I do. And I feel like, you know, it's a different job. The ER job is very, very valuable, but I feel like what I'm doing now is more in line with what I was meant to do.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. And thank you for being so brave. I hope more people can muster up the courage to fulfill their life's purpose with the kind of energy that you have. I genuinely mean that.
Oh, so, thank you.
Absolutely. Why don't you tell us a little bit about stem cell makeovers and what that means? How does a stem cell makeover translate to a better and improved quality of life?
Great. So my partner, Dr. Harry Adelson, and I do this big procedure called the full body stem cell makeover. We pioneered it. We've been doing it now for probably 4 or 5 years. And basically what we do is I take stem cells from the patient primarily, or sometimes we'll get other sources of growth factors and other tissues. But essentially we're injecting the entire musculoskeletal system. So all the major joints, all down the neck and back, the facets, the epidurals, like essentially doing the whole musculoskeletal system. And I do the skin on the face and the neck and the scalp to help with hair growth and skin regeneration. And then I do the sexual organs as well. And we also do IV stem cells. You go to sleep, we have anesthesia there. We knock you out for 2 or 3 hours. We do all these injections, give you all these stem cells, and then we wake you up. And, you know, a lot of people who have this procedure are not actually suffering from, you know, tons of problems, but they're just looking to improve the state of health and potentially prevent problems down the line. And then some people do have, you know, joint issues or sexual issues or skin problems or whatever. So it's kind of half and half, but we're just trying to improve the activation of healing in your body using your own cells.
And how does a patient decide that they want this? Is it totally something that's exclusive, expensive, and just totally suited for the biohacker and person that wants to optimize? Or is this also a preventative thing? You know, how does someone know that they're a good candidate for this procedure? And what do the candidates typically look like?
So it is expensive. I will tell you that. It's definitely an expensive procedure, you know, and certainly you can do lesser versions of it if you just have a knee that needs injected, or if you just, you know, just a shoulder, like you can do single joint injections as well. And that's much more accessible. But the whole thing is pretty expensive. A lot of our patients are biohackers because we've treated, you know, Dave Asprey and Ben Greenfield and, you know, Mark Hyman and Vision and all these people who have followers in the community of biohackers or kind of optimizers. But a lot of patients, about half of them, have just heard of us from friends or other people, and they're not necessarily biohackers, but they are interested in really, you know, kind of going all in and getting as much benefit as they can in a single day.
And how does this translate to someone's day-to-day feeling? You know, as far as subjective measures, what do you typically see?
People tell us different things. Like, for instance, if they didn't have a lot of problems to begin with, a lot of people will tell us that they just feel like almost like they've had like a full body massage that lasts, you know, 6 months or a year. Like they're just more, you know, they're more able to do movements and exercises easier, and they're recovering faster and they're sleeping better. You know, with my procedures, you know, I do a lot of cosmetic stuff and a lot of sexual health. So I get a lot of feedback about just, you know, skin is glowing and you kind of look more well-rested, still like yourself. So we're not doing anything that's, we're not putting fillers in or things like that, but you're just getting, you know, increased collagen and you're looking just more awake, more happy, more glowy, and then improvements with sexual, you know, performance, sensation, blood flow, those kinds of things also.
That's unbelievable. And have you done this yourself?
So I haven't done the whole thing myself because I can't inject myself. But I have
Dr. Addison, maybe?
We've actually talked about it. I've done it to him. So me and another doctor that he trained did do his procedure, but they haven't done me yet. I have done sort of piecemeal, like I've done some stem cells or exosomes for my skin. I've had it done on my shoulder when I was having some shoulder issues, but I haven't done the whole shebang yet because I haven't trained anyone else to do my portion of it.
Right. And if we can back up for just a moment, can you tell those tuning in who aren't familiar and aren't up to date, what exactly are stem cells? How do they work? And why do they help us glow, feel better, perform better?
Yeah. So the stem cells are the cells in your body that are responsible for the just general upkeep of all the different organs and tissues in your body. So you have them everywhere. You have them in your brain and your skin and your penis and, you know, your bones, like they're literally everywhere. And they can do two things. They can replicate themselves to, you know, just create, crank out more stem cells. And they can also differentiate, which means turning into different types of tissue. Those are the two things that stem cells can do that other cells can't do. So what happens is as you get older, your stem cells, they become less numerous and they become less able to signal repair and regeneration in the tissue. So I like to think of it as, you know, like my son who is 13 years old, he injures himself skateboarding all the time and he'll have like a big gash on his arm or something, but he heals up in like 3 days. Like I'll come back in 3 days and it's gone. But then me, I fell roller skating like 2 weeks ago and I skinned my knee. And it literally took me like 2 weeks just to heal up my skinned knee because I have, you know, 40-something-year-old stem cells and my son has 13-year-old stem cells. So that's the difference, is our stem cells become less active. So what we're trying to do with all of these procedures is essentially just communicate to the cells that are already in your body to become more active and to act like more youthful cells. So we can either take stem cells from one part of your body and move them somewhere else, or we can potentially take growth factors or other stem cells from somewhere else and put them in your body. And there's different ways to do it.
And are there specific nutrition guidelines, supplements, lifestyle habits, other agents and influences that work synergistically with this kind of procedure?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of this you can do on your own without getting a stem cell procedure too, right?
Like,
this does not all require going to a doctor and paying thousands of dollars. You can activate stem cells with just normal things like sleeping and exercising and meditating and decreasing stress. But some of the supplements that we like to recommend to patients before procedures include things like nitric oxide boosters, because we know that stem cells and nitric oxide is going to increase stem cell activation and proliferation. So that's one of the things. So like, or even like at home, you could do beetroots or eat more beets or eat more arugula or vegetables that have nitric oxide releasing capabilities. We also like some of the NAD precursors like NMN or NR, because we know that NAD is important in the cells for making energy. And that's also going to be helpful for stem cells as well. We like, you know, other things just like normal supplements, vitamin D, some of the things that people just don't get enough of, I think are helpful too. But yeah, you can certainly activate your own stem cells without having to do all of this.
You know, what's fascinating is I recorded a podcast yesterday with Dr. Nathan Bryan on nitric oxide.
Nathan, yes.
Yeah, it'll be amazing. Absolutely perfect for those tuning in, you know, to check out the previous podcast, and I'm sure it'll go hand in hand with this one.
Yeah.
For example, just the influence of the oral microbiome and how that's like literally how you get your nitric oxide, you know, the influence of that
and
alone.
Avoiding mouthwash and it's so funny because people just don't know this stuff. It's, you know, pretty easy hacks, the things that you can do to eat that can increase nitric oxide and things to avoid, and the fact that it goes down, you know, every year after age, you know, 25 or 30, and how important it is.
Yeah. And, you know, I think for a lot of the folks who aren't deep in the biohack community, a lot of this may seem almost like excessive, but the way I argue that this kind of stuff makes sense is, you know, with these modern environments, we're so far from being able to enjoy the evolutionarily preserved mechanisms that make us who we are, that make us great. And by adding in things as a preventative and proactive measure, we can truly optimize in this day and age. So I'm a huge fan of the supplements, of the nutrition, of the lifestyle, and that can always, you know, that can do so much. And I would say, for someone like me at least, that I would want to make sure that I've mastered that before I consider something like this procedure. So when you have these sort of candidates, do you tell them straight up, hey, make sure you've got this covered, you know? Is that typically how the show goes?
Yeah, absolutely. Our patients are generally very healthy because, you know, they do have to have a good foundation of health before you start stacking on it. And I completely agree. I personally don't treat people if they're active smokers, for instance, because we know that smoking is going to delay healing and it's going to reduce stem cell activation. And so to me, if you're smoking and I'm doing this procedure, like, you're just basically negating all the things that I'm doing. It's not good for either one of us, right? Or for instance, if you have, you know, uncontrolled diabetes, same thing. You're not going to heal well, and this is not going to be helpful. So you really do have to get into a state of health first with lifestyle and potentially supplements, but, you know, primarily lifestyle. And then after that, you can start thinking about, okay, now how could I make it even better?
Right. And we've spoken a lot about, let's say, optimization, and you've taken us through your background working in the hospital setting, but with some of your clients right now, you know, what are some of the biggest breakthroughs that you've seen? Because I'm sure it's super rewarding to help somebody optimize and get 5 to 10% better. But what are some of the biggest breakthroughs that you've seen now being on the preventative and proactive end of health and medicine?
You know, there's so many things. When I first started doing this, I had a clinic in Portland. I had just left the ER and I had a clinic in Portland and I was doing a lot of hormones and supplements and just kind of basic lifestyle stuff. And I remember it was mostly women. These women would come in that were like, you know, newly menopausal, and they were so angry and they were just bitter and they would like growl at me and yell at me and like, you know, just really, really unhappy people. And they would come back 2 or 3 months later after we had done a few basic things, you know, just changes to lifestyle, some hormones, maybe a few supplements, and they would come back as completely different people. Like they would walk in the office and they're smiling and they're like, they're dancing around. And I just remember thinking like, it's really possible just in a few months to actually change, you know, your personality, your outlook on life, you know, all of these things that we think are like ingrained in us, those things aren't ingrained in us. We actually can make changes. So, I mean, obviously you can change your body, but you can also change your mindset and your mental capacity just by doing some basic changes. So those patients always stick out in my mind because I love seeing that transformation every single time.
And that's amazing. And what exactly did you introduce in that case? Like what actually made the difference there? What was it? Peptides, hormone? Like what was it? I mean, I'm sure it was all of the above, but specifically, mechanistically, what clicked?
Yeah. I mean, this is back in 2013, 2014. So kind of before we had a lot of peptides, and I was mostly just doing hormones. So like for those women specifically, it was the introduction of estrogen and progesterone and testosterone, because a lot of them had been without it for a period of time. And they thought that it was, you know, that was normal just to go through all these things and suffer. And when we introduced those things back in, along with some other, you know, just some other supplements and such, that made a huge difference for those people.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people tuning in that are curious about the stem cells in the penis. I definitely am. Can you tell us what difference does that actually make? Why should I be concerned about the stem cells in my penis?
Well, you know, first of all, if you're 25 years old, then you probably shouldn't, because you still have lots of stem cells and everything's still working properly.
Did I tell you exactly how old I was? Because I am 25.
Is that how old you are? I figured you were mid-20s.
Yeah. Well, so, I know that I'm going to have to worry and think about this. So I'm trying to be proactive too.
So it's at about age 35 or 40 that we start seeing changes within the penis. So the smooth muscle cells get replaced by either fat or scar tissue. And also the blood flow isn't as good because the blood vessels get atherosclerosis and become more narrow. So those are two things that are happening. Obviously, it happens earlier if you're not as healthy. And so that can happen. And so the things that I do, whether it's with injections or shockwave therapy or prescriptions or just diet and lifestyle, are aimed at changing some of those changes that we see.
Sweet. Going hand in hand with all the nitric oxide goodness that we love. And you know, it's something that you post pretty frequently about that just absolutely drives me insane in the best of ways is the oxytocin, the supplemental, like exogenous oxytocin, you know, for better mood, better sex, better relationships. Can you tell us about this supplement or medicine? I mean, I know it's not over the counter, right? So how would you describe this? And
yeah, it's a prescription. Oxytocin, you know, is a hormone that's already released in your brain a lot. Whenever you're hugging someone or holding someone's hand or squeezing your dog or, you know, or having sex, like it's a bonding hormone and it goes up. And it's great because it actually decreases your cortisol. So oxytocin is kind of stamps down stress and cortisol. And so it's really effective for reducing stress when you have that oxytocin from whatever the cause. So you can get it from a prescription. You can take, you know, sublingual lozenges or do a spray of some sort. And I think that it can be beneficial for some things and for some people. I don't think it's a cure-all. I mean, I think it's better to get your oxytocin from a person or a dog or, you know, being with someone and connecting with someone. But sometimes we use it in combination with other things to try to improve bonding or improve that kind of feeling of closeness.
And I don't know if you're familiar with Kelly McGonigal's work in Stanford. She's a health psychologist there. And she has this incredible presentation. I think it's the most viewed TED Talk of all time. It's called Making Stress Your Friend. And she describes the cardioprotective benefits of oxytocin and how, you know, when you're stressed out, your body releases it because it has a cardioprotective effect. But really the main benefit is that it leads to social behavior. You know, it helps you connect and reach out to people, you know, so that you can get the help you need, the support, the social, you know, bond. And so it's a fascinating hormone. What are some of the things about oxytocin that have really surprised you in your practice or with your patients? I mean, if we're talking breakthroughs with that kind of medicine, I mean, what have you seen?
I use it sometimes. I don't use it all the time, but you're totally right. It does make you kind of seek out your tribe and your people. And it's kind of an interesting thing. I work with Mindvalley and Vision, and at the events that they have, like an AFEST, they have these big events with people that you don't know. And they teach you the very first day that when you meet someone, you're supposed to give them this long, like 3 or 4 or 5 second hug. And there's like this very awkward, like very long, it's called the AFES tug. And they teach this. And I was thinking about that because they're also very much about, you know, finding your tribe and becoming part of this tribe. And like little things like that, that actually work. Like oxytocin really does make you more like territorial, and it makes you like, these are my people, like keep out. There's actually some research, I think it's in animals, that if you give animals oxytocin, then they do, you know, kind of find their tribe, but they also can kind of become a little bit more aggressive towards people who aren't in their tribe. And so it's kind of an interesting phenomenon. Like it's good for that reason, but like, you know, you don't want too much maybe. So I've used it in patients with mostly when I'm trying, like if I'm giving someone maybe something for erectile dysfunction, like a medication, like a tadalafil or Cialis, you could do oxytocin with that. Or in for women who have sexual dysfunction, sometimes I'll give oxytocin with something else. And it just kind of helps with some of the feelings of bonding with a partner and feeling a little bit more closer to them faster.
Sweet. You know, one thing I'll do before every podcast, since most are online, to have the best conversation, you know, establish that trust with the guest that doesn't know me and just have a good time in general. I'll take a little bit of dark chocolate, you know, and I find that that's like my superfood for the show. And about the 8-second hugs or the long hugs with my family, we recently came across that research. And with my family, I'll actually do like 8-second hugs almost every single time. Like my dad will literally count down for the peak oxytocin. So that's a nice little reflection there. Sweet. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the Human Optimization Project, your involvement, and what you're trying to accomplish through this mission?
Oh, yeah. Thanks. So this is a company that it's been about 2 years that we've been working on it, but essentially we're doing, it's an educational platform around longevity specifically, and we combine that with a subscription supplement that you can purchase and basically have it all in one box, like all the things that are most studied, most scientifically backed, ingredients that you're not likely to get from food. So these are things that, you know, we're assuming that you have a healthy diet, and then like, what are the other things that science is showing us could help to delay aging? So the whole idea is, you know, there are all these things that cause us to age faster. We call them the downfalls of aging, but you know, it's the hallmarks of aging that you've probably learned about. And we're trying to just like teach people about those and then give them some easy things that they can do with lifestyle, with nutrition, with stress, with all the things to mitigate those downfalls of aging. So it's kind of a whole project and we're just getting started, but we're pretty excited.
That's sweet. So if someone signs up, they're going to get like a sort of care package suited for their personal longevity goals, so to speak?
Yeah. Well, what we're doing right now is in a couple of months, we're going to be launching like a 30-day challenge. We call it the BEAMS challenge, and B is BEAMSSSS, like four S's, which are all the things, kind of the pillars of health that you need to establish first. So it's, you know, it's belong, eat, avoid, move, stress, sleep, sun, and sex. Those are the BEAMS. And so we have sort of a whole program around teaching you how to bring those things into your life first and the best way to eat and move and sleep and all of that. And then after that, you know, you can certainly supplement with our supplements, but the key, the most important thing is teaching people that they have control over how they age, whether you're 25 years old, 35 years old, 45 years old, that you actually have the power to decide how you're going to show up in 10 years and in 20 years and in 30 years.
Wow. And do you guys include some sort of means to measure this so that you have a sort of, you know, you can actually show people, I don't know if it's down at the telomere level or the cellular, but is there a way to measure this through the program?
There will be. So we're pairing up with my other company, which is called Reputable, is a decentralized blockchain-based platform that essentially allows sort of sharing of data and peer-to-peer medicine and, you know, kind of using the group to decide what's truthful and what's not truthful in health and wellness. And so we'll be kind of combining efforts and helping to people to understand like what tests to take that are going to show differences. What, you know, what's helpful? Is it epigenetic testing? Is it telomere testing? Is it looking at your blood inflammatory markers? Is it looking at blood sugar? You know, what are the tests that are out there that could be beneficial, that could show change, whether it's from your diet or your lifestyle or your supplements?
Would you mind telling us why using blockchain is beneficial for this kind of health, wellness, and medical platform?
Yeah, if you know what blockchain is, it's basically using sort of the power of the people versus having it siloed and having one company or one person in charge of it. So for this particular effort, this Reputable, the idea is that everyone who wants to, who's in this ecosystem, will contribute health data, de-identified health data, you know, and mostly through wearables and things like that. So it's not anything you have to do much with. But when you do that, you're incentivized. So you can earn tokens or you can earn something for doing that. but you also still own your data and you can decide what happens to it and who uses it. And then you can start to aggregate that data and start to make sense of it. So it's essentially kind of a community approach to looking at all this big data that's out there. And it's kind of a quantified collective, if you will. So instead of having, you know, quantified self-movement is it's in of one data. Like you take your own information, you keep a spreadsheet and you say what's working and what's not working. And, you know, how does this affect my heart rate variability? And how does this affect my sleep? So it's kind of like that, but it's on steroids because you're adding in all the people. So it's a collective of people doing.
It's on stem cells.
You can do stem cells. You can have a whole stem cell arm.
Wow. That is absolutely, I mean, I don't even have the words to describe how mind blown I am about the utility of blockchain in this field with this objective. How does someone get involved in something like that? You know, if I wanted to start sharing my data, something that I can currently do right now, can I have my clients set up on there and see how maybe my unique methods, coaching can influence their collective, for example?
Yeah. So right now we have a DAO, which is a decentralized organization that you can go to a reputable DAO if you're in, like if you're in the crypto space and are interested in that, come join us. And we have a DAO that we've been working with for a long time. We have a website, which is reputable.health. And then the app is in development. A beta version will be out pretty soon. And we're also putting together what we call the Quantified Collective, which is a group of early influencers. And I'll invite you to help with that. Essentially, we'll invite you to join this and then we'll start spreading out from there.
Oh my goodness, that'd be such an honor and a pleasure to contribute. Is there anything else on the horizon that you're really excited about, looking forward to with this new year that you want to make sure my audience has a heads up on?
I think that's it for me. I mean, I'm doing all kinds of things. You know, hopefully we'll do some speaking, just following along with all the longevity research that's coming out, which is so much of that. I'm super excited about just learning all the time. But if you don't follow me on Instagram, Dr. Amy B. Kellen, I post a lot of stuff, good or bad, but you can come follow me there if you want to learn more about that kind of stuff.
Sweet. And just if I can ask you, if you can take us through maybe a brief bullet pointed list of what we can do to have better sex. And this is a question I reached out to my community and let them know that I was going to get you on the show. And I would say it was probably the most popular question that came up on there is, how can Dr. Amy Killen help us have better sex? What are some of the key things that we can do?
Well, I think it starts with all the foundational health stuff, obviously, because if you don't have a healthy physical body, then you're not going to have a healthy sexual activity. Sexual health is interesting in that you have input from physical health, but you also have input from mental and emotional health. So getting your mental, emotional health, really, you know, squared away is important, and dealing with anything you've had in the past and shame and trauma and relationship issues, all of that shows up in your sex life. So if you haven't dealt with all of that, then you have to deal with all of that. Their social life, all of that. I think, you know, we know that a healthy sex life starts in your brain. Our brain is your biggest sex organ. And that's kind of where everything starts and ends, whether that's libido, whether that's arousal, even orgasm, it's all happening in the brain. And so, you know, getting your mind in the right place, kind of getting into that parasympathetic sort of, I call it the rest and receive mindset, where you're able to kind of receive compliments and doting and affection and love and pleasure is really, really important. I think we have a hard time doing that. We have a hard time, you know, getting out of that sympathetic nervous system. So learning how to do that is really important, and making time as well. I think especially as you get older, a lot of us, you know, especially if you have, you know, busy careers or you have kids, sex just gets put in the back burner and we don't schedule it. And we don't really, we're just like, ah, it should just happen naturally, but it doesn't a lot of times. And so I think scheduling that and putting it on your calendar, making it a priority is very important. And then, you know, I'm also a big fan of anything that increases blood flow. And so that's nitric oxide, that's exercise, you know, that's staying healthy, as well as making sure that you've checked all of your hormones, especially if you're over age 35 or so, because testosterone and estrogen and progesterone, whether you're male or female, play huge roles in, you know, just how you think about sex and whether you're interested and whether you're going to have a good experience or not.
I know some guys that would argue that their brain is not their biggest sex organ.
Oh, yes, I know. But they're wrong. Those guys are wrong.
Oh, my God. Amy, I would love to take a moment to cover the hot box with you. Can you tell us about the hot box? Is it the hot box or HOP box? Or both.
It's HOP. Yeah, it's HOP Box. So it stands for Human Optimization Project. And that's the whole company name. But the HOP Box is the longevity focused monthly subscription box that we are going to be sending out. We're sending out our first boxes next week.
Oh, sweet. If I were to subscribe and get one of these boxes, what would I receive and how would it influence me?
So the box is basically a curated collection of all of the ingredients that we think are the most cutting edge and interesting as far as trying to delay aging and a lot of the signs of aging. So we're, you know, it's all the things that you don't typically get from food, or at least not in high doses. And we want you to have a healthy diet. And then we're supplementing with these other things. So it's, you know, it's things like Inamin and spermidine and dihydroberberine and calcium alpha-ketoglutarate and all of these things that are studied and have a lot of really promising data behind them for slowing aging specifically.
And why can't we get this stuff through our diet?
Some of them you can get in small quantities in your diet, but a lot of them, they're just very minuscule amounts available in your diet. And then some people also don't have the healthiest diets. You know, some people are not eating nutritious food or don't have access to it. And so these are ingredients that even if you are eating a healthy diet, though, it's probably hard to get enough of them in your diet to reach the doses that have been studied for actually delaying aging.
And can you maybe describe what some of those mechanisms are as far as, let's say, spermidine and NMN? What do they actually do to help us with the aging process?
Yeah, so spermidine is best known for its role in autophagy and kind of, I call it like giving your cells a spa day. It's kind of like, you know, letting your cells get rid of the garbage and kind of refresh themselves. And that's autophagy. And that's one of the things that we need to have as we get older, especially because you accumulate more and more kind of debris and garbage and junk in your cells. So spermidine is really great for that. It's great for skin and hair. There's a lot of research on spermidine for, you know, helping to regrow hair, even potentially turning back gray hair. It's great for skin. And it's great for just sort of all the cellular mechanisms in general. Inamin is a precursor to NAD, which is really important for mitochondrial function. And we know that as you get older, we lose the ability to make as much NAD. We don't have as much in our body. So things like Inamin or NR or even niacin, which you can get in a lot of vitamins, but causes flushing, those things can all help supplement to keep your NAD levels up so that you have enough energy in your cells to do normal tasks, to do good workouts, to make it through your day, and to age a little bit slower.
And what kind of person can benefit from this the most? Is it someone that is adding this stuff early on to delay these mechanisms, or is it someone that's now at the tail end of the aging process, an older person? You know, who benefits from this the most, from these supplements the most?
You know, probably everyone benefits, any adults, but our target range is going to be adults probably in the 30 to, you know, 60 or so age bracket, who are already health conscious, who are already doing a lot of the things, you know, exercising and eating well and meditating and doing some of these healthy practices, but they want to kind of take their health game up another level, like, you know, really beyond just kind of feeling good. They want to really optimize themselves and their health and get to that next level.
And is there a way to measure the effect that these kinds of supplements can have on the aging process? Can you actually measure like a before and after?
There are a lot of different tests out there. There's no one perfect test that measures aging right now. There are epigenetic clock tests like TrueAge and several others that are out there that your blood tests that can look at the different methylation patterns of your DNA and can make kind of guesses as to what your biologic age is. And a lot of people are using those tests, but they're not a perfect way to measure aging. We don't really have that yet. We can also look at just blood tests, you know, looking at things like inflammatory markers, like CRP, for instance. We'd expect maybe that to go down on a regimen like this because we have things in there that are great for decreasing inflammation, like we have curcumin and some of these other ingredients. We can certainly measure other things like blood glucose is going to be important. As you know, I'm sure you want to keep your blood glucose levels generally low over time, A, because it'll increase your risk of becoming diabetic if you don't, but B, because sugar and glycation that happens with blood sugar being higher is going to age you faster. And that's going to age your skin faster. It's going to age your blood vessels faster, like all different organs. So like, for instance, we have dihydroberberine, which is a more bioavailable berberine in our box to try to keep blood sugar down. So there's several different blood tests you could do to just kind of measure progress, but there's no one perfect test yet to measure aging.
So a lot of these would be like insulin mimetics. So you mentioned berberine. Do you guys use like bitter melon, that sort of thing as well?
We don't have bitter melon in there. We have dihydroberberine. We have vitamin D3, which of course has multiple different mechanisms and actions that are fantastic. We have spermidine has some actions on blood sugar as well in a lot of people. And even Inamin can help with blood sugar because of its mitochondrial function. So we have a bunch of different, I think it's like 19 different ingredients that are in there. And we have, you know, high enough doses that you're getting a proper dose of all of those things. And it's like twice daily packs. So one in the morning, one at night, or you know, one at lunch, one with dinner. So it just makes it really easy to just be able to grab a pack and go and know that you're getting some of these really cool ingredients.
And I know that a lot of people are looking for a magic pill. And what can be said about that regarding the synergistic influence that lifestyle change will have with this medication, well, not medication, supplement?
Yeah,
No, that's a great question. Well, there is no magic pill, unfortunately. There's no magic pill. One thing that we're doing with this is we're also building out an entire, what we call the BEAMS program, which are a BEAMS challenge. And I'll tell you what those things stand for. So it's BEAMSSSS. So four S's. But essentially, it's all the other things that you should be doing to help support a healthy life or a long life. So it's belong, you know, sense of belonging. It's eat, and talking about kind of what to eat, what not to eat. Avoid, and, you know, avoiding everything from toxic people to environmental toxins, to mold, and, you know, how to do that. M is for move. So of course, incorporating exercise and including just increasing daily movement, like fidgeting more and standing more and dancing more and all of those kinds of things. And then the first S is for sleep, which obviously is very important and kind of under talked about. Stress and stress modification and how to deal with stress and making sure that you have mechanisms to handle stress. And then a sun is our third S, because I think we don't talk enough about sun and its role in, you know, what's the right amount. You don't want to have too much aging of your skin, but you also need sun for a lot of the good, healthy processes that are in your body. And then the last S is for sex, because, you know, it's one of my favorite things to talk about.
Sweet. I think it is for a lot of people, but they don't talk about it enough. And this is a strange question. It just kind of popped up in my head. Is there any benefit to aging that we can discuss besides the wisdom? And, you know, from that perspective, we see aging as this problem, as a disease, but are there any benefits to aging?
That's a great question. Yeah. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is obviously the wisdom and that, you know, all the things like from the social side. But I think from a physical side, if you're just looking at your body and what's going on inside, I can't think of a lot of benefits to aging. Maybe you can, but I'm just thinking about different processes that are happening. And unfortunately, we just become less resilient with time and we become less able to handle stressors with time. And, you know, even the best of us become a little bit less able to just be really, really healthy as we get older.
The reason I ask is because I think, you know, some people will question the biohackers and the health optimizers and the longevity freaks, because it's like, you know, they say, well, human beings aren't even designed to live so long. I mean, what can be said about that? You know, because yes, sure, we can attack the mechanisms of aging, but even then, if we add the supplements, if we change our lifestyles, if we add the foods, are we doing any harm? Is there anything natural about the aging process that we're not considering that can do more harm?
You know, I don't think so. I think that, and the idea for most of us is not necessarily to live longer, although that would be great. It's to live healthier longer, right? And so if we can give people back 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 healthy years versus living those years in an unhealthy state where they're not able to go for a walk with their grandkids and are able to go pick up their own groceries or, you know, take the dog to the park. Like, there's simple things that we lose the ability to do as we get older because we're not as healthy. So the first goal is health span, obviously. And then it's lifespan after that. And, you know, we're not quite there yet where we're adding tens and tens of years to our lives. But I do think that with all the different technologies that are coming, we'll get there. And I think that people will be surprised that it's actually a good thing for humanity, not just for the, you know, each person individually, because we'll have more people who are healthy and able to do different things out in the world and able to, you know, live their purpose and create good and save actually a lot of money for our healthcare systems because people are not in the hospital as much.
Yeah, but I think the most expensive is that we're extending the lifespan, but not the health span. So we're keeping people in sick care, and that costs us billions and billions and billions of dollars just to keep people alive, but they're not really living life. It creates more suffering. So basically, what you're describing is that longevity is more about extending lifespan through the quality of the present moment rather than extending lifespan for the sake of more moments.
Yeah, for the sake of more good moments. You know, I talk about, you know, improving not so much just lifespan, but improving, you know, all the spans, the laugh span, love span, play span, health span. Like, you want to increase all the spans of all the good moments so that you have more of those things.
You know, there was this recent, I think it was an article that was published, I forget where, I hope I can find it and link it in the show notes, but it was talking about this friendship epidemic, how, you know, people in the Western world are losing friends year after year, especially men. And we know that this social bond and interaction is something that truly boosts longevity and improves quality of life. Can you maybe give us some insight as to how we can find and develop the friendships that promote longevity?
Yeah, it's so important. And the big Harvard study that just kind of came out and was talking about that and how—
Is that what it was?
Yeah, the Harvard—
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's
oh,
still
sweet.
Ongoing study, but it's been like 85 years in the making, and
oh,
they're
wow.
still following people, but, you know, looking at, you know, a sense of belonging had more influence on longevity and lifespan and health span than almost anything else, even genetics, even, you know, smoking and all of these things that we think are so important. But I think you're totally right. I feel like we've become so reliant on technology and on just kind of, you know, being at sort of superficial relationships, you know, that we don't really get to see people in person. And it's gotten a lot harder to just go out and like meet your friends and just hang out. And I feel like the in-person stuff is so important. I feel like technology is great, but I thrive, you know, by being with people in person, so much so that, you know, I turn down a lot of Zoom events and, you know, things like that, because I'm like, you know what? I'm not as good that way. And I don't feel as connected that way. Like, I want to go sit in your living room like on a big bag chair and like hang out. And that's how, you know, that's how I make friends. So I just, you know, I think that we have to make an effort, like, you know, just looking at the people that you care about the most and reaching out to them, calling them on the phone, don't just text them, and try to have meetups in person, even if it requires some travel. We're going to lose the ability to really connect to people if we're not careful.
Right. And so I think it's become a lot harder for people because of the circumstances that we faced in the past few years, to put it broadly. And I think it's put people in a situation where now everybody's a little more anxious, so it requires proportionally more effort. So, man, like, if you could put a message up on a billboard for people that maybe incentivizes them to really make that effort, what would it say?
Oh my gosh. I love that idea. I think it would be something along the lines of, like, get back out there, you know, like, be with people, get back out there, just make the effort. I feel like it's, a lot of us have gotten so used to not making the effort because it's so easy to not, but it's really worth it to do it. But the actual word I got to think about, but something along those lines.
More hugs?
More hugs. Yeah. 12 hugs a day. I tell my kids I need 12 hugs a day to keep those oxytocin levels up so I can fight stress and keep cortisol down and all of that.
Yeah. I chocolate before the podcast to try to simulate what would otherwise happen in person. So get a little bit of that oxytocin kick. And so returning to the hot box, you know, when you receive this, is it the same for every individual that picks it up? Or are you guys planning on maybe making this more of like a bio-individual approach based on genetics and health history? You know, how does that work?
Great question. So for right now, it's the same for everybody, because we looked at all the studies and said, what are the doses of all these different things, you know, that are most effective, but still safe for almost everybody? So we chose those doses based on that. But yes, I mean, ideally in the future, at some point, we'll be able to individualize them a little bit more. I don't know if we'll be able to take all the information in, you know, genetics and all of the different things. You know, that's a little bit off-putting for some people because they're like, I don't know how to do all of that. So we want to make this really accessible to people, even if they're kind of early in their health journey, and make it playful. And we have a lot of storytelling and a lot of like fun characters and, you know, just make it something that's fun and not something that's overwhelming. So that's our first goal. But yeah, there's a lot of iterations that could come in the future for sure.
I know you're a big fan of the Web3 and AI stuff. Do you see that playing a role in providing this kind of product, technology, and solution for people that want to live longer?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a part of a platform called Reputable, reputable.health. And we are launching, you know, it's basically in the Web3 space. So it's, you know, it's decentralized science. And the idea behind it is using sort of N of one experiments, but then making those, you know, on a grander scale. And it's about sort of this quantified collective versus just quantified self. So there's a quantified self movement where people are, you know, keeping track of their own data and they put them on spreadsheets. But what if we could take that and multiply it by thousands or millions and you have a collective? And each person owns their own data, and each person can decide what to do with that data and even get coins or tokens or things for it, for using it in different ways. So it really puts the power into the hands of all of us, each individuals, versus like, you know, big pharmaceutical companies or big research institutions or things like that. And, you know, the things you could do with that are limitless, right? You could do small studies, you could do large studies, you could do, you know, look at all different kinds of tech and supplements and like what's working and what's not. And it becomes sort of this truth machine that it's not benefiting any one institution. So we actually can get to the truth a little faster.
So do you think maybe the next evolution of this hot box would consider this sort of data instead of what we see in the current literature?
Yeah, absolutely. So the goal is, once Reputable is up and running, so we're still kind of developing all the tech behind it right now. We're building out all the technology. Once it's up and running and we have a community there, then we will you know, essentially bring the hot box over there and say, hey, you know, if you have this, if you buy this, let's start looking at all of your data and whatever you want to share. You know, it could be your wearable data, it could be your labs, it could be anything that you want to share. It's all de-identified, of course. But once we get people sharing befores and 3-month data and 6-month data, then we can start seeing, well, what actually is changing? You know, are you having improvements in blood sugar? Are you having improvements in energy? And by how much? You know, what's your HRV doing? Like, you can look at all these different metrics for each person, and then you can really start making, you know, some informed decisions about what's working.
You know what I want to see is a dating app with this kind of technology. Do you think that's possible?
That's a great idea. Yeah, I'm sure somebody's working on like a decentralized, like a blockchain, Web3. Maybe you should build that. Maybe that's your next thing.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Well, Amy, I know you have to run. I appreciate your time and your energy as always. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you do think of the perfect message for that billboard, please be sure to let us know and I'll add it to the show notes.
Okay, I definitely will. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been great.
My pleasure.
So that's all for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in today. For all of the show notes, including clickable links to anything and everything that we discussed today, everything from discount codes to videos to research articles, books, tips, tricks, techniques, and of course, to learn more about the guest on today's episode, all you have to do is head to my website, andrespreschel.com. That's AndresPreschel.com, and go to podcasts. You can also leave your feedback, questions, and suggestions for future episodes, future guests, so on and so forth. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next one. Have a lovely rest of your day.